The word Moed Katan means small yontif. What's a small yontif? It doesn't mean a yontif on a small day. What it means is like this. The din is that Shabbos and yontif, you are not allowed to do malacha. A yontif, you're allowed to do certain types of malacha. But Shabbos and yontif, generally, you're not allowed to do malacha. There are certain days which are Moed Katan, which means that they have some dinim of yontif, and some dinim not of yontif. So take a smaller yontif, a weaker yontif. Certain things you're not allowed to do, especially things that are very hard to do, you're not allowed to do on a Moed Katan, on a small yontif. But certain things that are easier, or that's needed, you're allowed to do. So in some ways it's like yontif, some days it's like the weekdays. What are these days that are Moed Katan? We know them as Chol HaMoed. Chol means weekday, Moed means yontif. Chol HaMoed means the weekday of yontif. The same thing as saying a Moed Katan is saying a Chol HaMoed. It means the same thing. It means a yontif that is some ways like yontif and some days like the weekday. So this Masechta, Moed Katan, is going to be talking about the things that you are allowed to do and not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. And also it's going to come out that we'll find out things you're allowed to do on Shemitah and that you're not allowed to do on Shemitah. Because some of the dinim of working in the field in Shemitah are the same as the dinim of working on Chol HaMoed. Nishalas. The definition of Mashkin Beis HaShlochin, you are allowed to water a Beis HaShlochin, a thirsty field. Beis HaShlochin means a field that's so thirsty that the regular rainwater is not enough. You have to get other kinds of water to it also. The Mashkin Beis HaShlochin, I'm allowed to get water to a thirsty field, Ba'amayr and Chol HaMoed, Ubashir and Shemitah. How am I allowed to get the water to that field? Bein Mimayon, it doesn't matter if it's from a stream, from a spring, Shuyot Batchila, that just started to flow. Bein Mimayon, it doesn't matter if it's from a spring. Shaloyot Batchila, it didn't just start to flow. What they used to do was they used to have streams, a spring that would be flowing, and then they would take like a mechitza, some kind of wall, something to block up where the water was flowing, and then it would flow in a different direction toward the field. So you're allowed to do that, to get that into your field during Chol HaMoed. Because it's not so hard to do. You just built like one wall there in the river to change the direction of the water. That you're allowed to do. Because since it's not so hard to do, and it's needed for the field anyway, if not it'll damage the ground, so you're allowed to do it in Chol HaMoed. And you're also allowed to do it in Shemitah when you're really not allowed to do anything for your things to grow. I will ain't mashkin, but I'm not allowed to get them water. Loving me, Hashem, not from rainwater. Let's say rainwater collected in a big place, like a real big puddle. I'm not allowed to get that water from the rain puddle and bring it to the field, because then I have to get a pail and fill it up and carry it to my field and pour it in and go back and get another pail. Those things are very hard work. That I can't do. So I can't do it from Hashem, rainwater that collected in a puddle, in a big puddle. Loving me, Hashem, and not from water from a kiloin. That's also like a pond. A lot of water collected, and also I got to do that with a pail. And I'm not allowed to make ditches like gefunim around the grapevines, around the gefunim, because trees of grapes, the vines that grapes grow on, need a lot of water. So what they used to do is they would dig a little ditch around each and every single grapevine plant, and then they would want to try to get water, pour water into these things so that it should be filled with water. And once these ditches around each grapevine is filled with water, so it always keeps it wet. It always keeps the grape seeds wet. That's a lot of work also. So these three things you are not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed or Shemitah, but just to change the direction of a stream that it should, with a wall that it should flow to your field, that you are allowed to do. End of Mishnah Aleph. Mishnah Beis. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, Ein oisin neso amo, you're not allowed to make the amo, a trench, a tchila, for the first time, a moed, a shvius, and Chol HaMoed or a Shemitah. Building a trench, digging a trench, is another way of getting water to your field. Instead of putting some kind of mechitza into the stream to change the direction where the water is flowing, you don't change the direction of the water at all. You leave the water where it's going. But you dig a trench, something in the ground, a canal in the ground, from where the river, the stream is, until your field. And then when the water keeps on going where it used to go, but some of the extra water fills up that trench, and the water automatically flows to your field. And that's harder to do than just putting something into the river. It's a harder thing to do because you have to dig and dig all the way, especially if it's dug for the first time. You have to dig all the way, a trench, from where the water is until your field. The blood of Zion says, you cannot do it. Ain't oisin neso amo. You cannot make this trench a tchila for the first time. Amayir of Shvius. Chol HaMoed Shvius. Because it's too hard. You're not allowed to do such hard melacha. The Chacham say, You are allowed to build this Amma, this tent. Let's kill it for the first time. Let's see it in Shemitah. But not Kalamoy. But you're allowed to fix the damaged ones. Kalamoy, you're not allowed to build a new one, but you are allowed to fix ones that were broken, because that's not that hard. On Mesafnin, you're also allowed to fix, you're allowed to repair. It's Tukule Hamayim, the damaged water collections, the reservoirs, Shabashutagabim, the Shutagabim. You know, they used to have like reservoirs, like these wells, where in the Shutagabim, so that everybody used to be able to use it to get water. So that you're allowed to do, you're allowed to fix these wells, the reservoirs for water, you're allowed to fix them, even in Kalamay. And you're allowed to clean them out. Let's say there were stones or something got into them, you're allowed to clean them out. When the slapping the Sadrochim, you're allowed to fix the roads. Let's say Rechoivos in the streets, you're allowed to fix them too. There's Mikvos Hamayim and the Mikvos. But if you have to go to the Mikvos, these things you're allowed to do in Chalamoy, even though it could be it's a little bit hard, but you're allowed to do that because the people need it, right? But Oisin Kotoch and Rabbim, you're allowed to do everything that the Rabbim, that the people need. You're allowed to do things that the people need it, like even digging new wells, which people need, because a lot of times people come to be old regel, so many people come to Yerushalayim, you're going to end up with a water shortage. They start using so much water, so you're allowed to dig even new wells on Chalamoy, even though it's hard work, but if the people need it, then you're allowed to do it. And the kvaros, and you're allowed to mark the kvaros, the graves, because when people were buried, they used to bury people, so before they put a matzeva on, big stone thing, you don't put a matzeva on right away after they bury someone. First, it's plain earth, right? So if there would be somebody who would walk on top of it, it would become tummy. So they used to pour limestone. That's like a kind of cement or something. They would pour something on top of it, and this kind of stone, they would put on top of the ground where a person is buried, and then everybody would know, oh, there's limestone there, the person is buried there. How am I going to be allowed to do it? Because it's malacha. But if you're going to leave it not be done, people are going to get tummy, right? So that's why, in the time of the security, you're allowed to mark up the kaboris and chalamot also. We go to Nafal Kalayim, and the people are allowed to go out. The Bezdin Shluchim are allowed to even go out to Kalayim. The Bezdin used to send out people to check if anybody planted Kalayim, like wheat and grapes together. And if anyone planted Kalayim, the Bezdin Shluchim would slap them out of the ground, put them out. Because it's an Avera for Kalayim to be growing in the ground. Every second that it's growing, it's an Avera. So they have people going out, and they slap them out if they see them. So on Chalamoy, even though you're not really allowed to do melocha, you're allowed to do these things too. You're even allowed to have people go out to check to see if there's klayim and to slap it out of the ground. End of Mishnah Beis. Mishnah Gimel. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Moishchim et hamayim. I am allowed to bring water. I'm allowed to get water. Me'ilon le'ilon, from one tree to another tree, and have a puddle of water under one tree. It's extra. That tree doesn't need it. And the next tree needs the water, so I'm allowed to bring the water from that one tree to the next one. Not with a pail, but just by pushing it over. But it's not so much work. Well, bad. So the yashke is kolosodin. Except that I'm not allowed to get the whole field full of water. I'm not allowed to water the whole field, because that's already doing too much work. If I'm going to have to schlep it to get the water from one tree to another tree, and by doing that I'll be watering the whole field, forget it, that's too much work. I can't do that. Next then. Zeraim, seeds, shaloi shosu, that they weren't watered before the yontif. Lo yashkim amayid, I should not water them a chalamayid. Because they weren't watered before yontif, so then, well, if they waited already this long, it's not going to be any big deal. They could wait already till after yontif. So now they water them chalamayid. The chalam matir and the chalam matir was there over there in both cases. The chalam say you're allowed to water seeds even though they weren't watered before yontif, because it doesn't really matter, it's not so important. So you are allowed to water them. And also, Nechachom say that even a regular field, which does not have to be watered, it could be enough with rain, you're also allowed to water them, you're allowed to push water from them. So I'm allowed to take water from one tree to another one, even if it'll water the whole field, it doesn't even matter. Because it's not such a big tircha. And the Mishnah Gimel. Mishnah Dalet. So then, I'm allowed to trap, and so Ishus, the mold, the Achborim, and the mice. Mister Ilan, from a tree field, a field where trees grow, from Mister Alavan, and from a grain field where wheat grows, stuff like that. Kidarkoi, I'm allowed to even do it, Kidarkoi, in the regular way, for the regular trap. Because since these things are so dangerous for the field, these moles and these mice are going to eat up the seeds, or they're going to eat up the roots of the trees, so I'm allowed to trap them in the regular way, and I don't say that I'm doing malocha and I'm doing it in the regular way, and I'm not allowed to do that, since it's so dangerous, I'm allowed to do it in the regular way. Say, you stay at Elon, from a tree field, an orchard, kidakoi. I'm allowed to trap them in the regular way, because they're so dangerous for the trees, they do so much damage, I can trap them in the regular way. But from a grain field, I'm only allowed to do it, not in the regular way. The regular way is when they used to dig a hole in the ground and put a special net, a special trap into it. That's the regular way. Not the regular way is when they take sticks or something and bang it into the ground and move it up and down and around in the ground, and then you'd have a hole automatically, and then you'd have a net to catch them. So if it's very, very dangerous, then you're allowed to do it the regular way. But if it's not going to cause so much damage, then you don't have to do it the regular way, which is more work. You do it not in the regular way. Next thing, umakurnas apirsa, I'm allowed to block up a hole, a moed, a chalamoed, if there's like a hole in a wall, a fence around the field that fell down, you're allowed to block it up by building up a pile of stones on the outside. So I'm just allowed to block it up. I'm not allowed to do it in the regular way, like by putting cement and sticking it together, but I'm allowed to pile up stones to block up the hole in the fence, a chalamoed. Well, shri is, but in shmitah, then I'm allowed to build the fence in the regular way with bricks and with cement and everything else. I'm allowed to do it in the regular way. And the Mishnah Dalet. Mishnah Hey. The Mer Oimer, the Mer says, Rayin as a Negoim. The Kohen is allowed to see the Negoim, the Nega, but Chila for the first time, Lo Hakel to be Mekel. The din is that if somebody had a Nega, if somebody had something in his body or in his clothes that looked like a Nega, he would bring it to the Kohen and the Kohen would have to examine it. And the Kohen could tell him one of three things. Either the Kohen could tell him that's Tomei, he has to go out of a machina and he's Tomei for a week and then he has to be examined again. Or the Kohen could say it's Tohor, it's not a Nega. Or the third thing the Kohen could say, you have to lock you up for 7 days, stay away, and then we'll see if it changed. Then the Kohen would examine you again. So now, if somebody has a Nega and he wants to go to the Kohen, so on Chalamayit, he's still Tariyantiv, you have to be Besimcha. But if you're going to go to the Kohen and the Kohen is going to tell you that's Tomei, you have to go out of the machina, you'll be very sad. You know how to do a sad thing, Yontif. So what do you do? So the Mishnah said, the Rameh said, the Kohen is allowed to see the Nega, lo hokel to be mekel. He's allowed to say, it's Tohar. Avalol lahakmi, but he's not allowed to say it's Tomei. If the Kohen sees it's Tomei, let him keep quiet. So he shouldn't cause him any sadness, then he's not going to be Tomei, so the Kohen says so. So to say that it's Tohar, to be mekel, to make it easy on him, the Kohen can look at it, the Kohen can say, it's okay, it's Tohar. But to be ma'achmir, the Kohen should just keep quiet, he shouldn't say a word, so he shouldn't cause him tsar on Chalamoy. The Chamanu, the Chamanu say, lo lahokel, you're not allowed to see it to be mekel, lo lahachmir, and not to be ma'achmir, to say it's Tomei. Because the Chacham holds that a Kohen who sees a Nega is not allowed to be quiet. He has to say what the din is. So if the Kohen can look and see what the din is, sometimes it'll be Tohar, sometimes it'll be Tomei, and it'll cause him tsar. So that's what the Chacham say, don't even bring the Nega to the Kohen shouldn't even look at Chalamoy, let him wait till after Yantif. Once you bring it to him, he has to answer the shayla, can't keep quiet, and then he might call the tzar. Another thing the mayor said, malakit odam atzmais odam v'imoy, a person may gather the bones of his father or mother. What they used to do is, they used to bury a person, they wouldn't bury him right away in the basic forest, they would bury him like plain in the ground without a kever, without a orin, in order to get get into the ground faster. And then after a while, they would take together the bones of the person who was nifta, and they would put it in an urn, and then they would bury it. So this thing, when they would bury him, so Rav Meir said, you're allowed to take the bones of your father and mother and bury them again on Chalamoid. And they should simcha, like simcha for him. He's happy that the trees are finally getting to be buried in an urn. So that's what you're allowed to do on Chalamoid. Rabbi Yezid says, Eidahu boy. It's not a simcha. It's available to him. He's very sad. So he sees the bones of his father and mother, he sees they were nifta. It's a sadness. So you don't do it, Chalamoid. Next thing, lo ya'oir adam al meitoi. A person cannot be ma'oir, can't awaken tsar on a person who's dead. What they used to do is, let's say a person was nifta a couple of years ago, and you don't want the family to forget the person who was nifta. He was a tzaddik, you don't want people to forget him. So they would hire a person to go around to all the relatives and say, remember this person who was nifta so many years ago? He was such a big tzaddik and such an erlich person. And then people would start to cry. They would remember the person who was such a big tzaddik and was so good, who was nifta a long time ago. So they used to hire people and pay them money to be ma'oirer, to remind people about the person who had been nifta. So we say, you're not allowed to remind, you're not allowed to awaken tzar and a person who was nifted almeite and a person who was nifted a long time ago, Balayas Bidenu, and I'm gonna hire a person to make a hesped and a person who was just nifted, Kregul Regus Lashim Yaim. Before the Yontif, for 30 days you're not allowed to do it. Why? For two reasons. One is because 30 days before Yontif you have to start saving money for Yontif. And if you're gonna start spending the money on hesped people and on people to be more urgent to remind people that about the person who was nifted, so then you're gonna spend that money, you're not gonna have money left over for Yontif. Another reason is because if you're going to start doing it within 30 days before the Yontif, you'll still be very sad, and Yontif you'll also be sad, and then again you're not allowed to be sad. So that's why you're not allowed to do these two things. You're not allowed to pay people to remind them about a person who was nifted a long time ago, or to pay a person to make a hesped and a person who was just nifted. End of Mishnah Hay. Mishnah Vav. Ein Chayfrin, you are not allowed to dig out kuchin, holes in a cave to bury people in. Kuchin are the holes that you knock out, of, that you chop out from the walls of the cave in order to bury people in. Kvarois or other kvarois, lamayin and chalamayin. You're not allowed to dig these places to bury people in, chalamayin, if the dead person is not there. We're talking about where you just want to dig it to have it ready in case the person dies. You're not allowed to do the chalamayin, so it's hard work. Ava mechanchim, but you're allowed to fix up. It's like kuchin amayid. You're allowed to fix up these kuchin during chalamayid. Let's say your mayid was too short and you want to make it longer, or it was too long and you want to make it smaller. That's what you're allowed to do. That's not that hard. But oisin nivreches, you're allowed to make a nivreches, the washing pond, the place filled with water that they used to dig in order to have people wash clothes there. You're allowed to make this nivreches, the washing pond, the chalamayid. It's not that hard. But aron, you're allowed to build an aron to bury a person in my mace bechotze, together with the mace in the chutzah. If the mace, the dead person is there in the chutzah, then you're allowed to build the urn. Because people are seeing that you're banging and chopping and sawing wood, and they know there's a dead person there, they know you're doing it for the urn. But if the dead person is not in the chutzah, you're not allowed to do it. Because then a person will hear you banging and sawing, he's not going to know you're building an urn to bury a person in. He'll think you're building a house, you're building something in Chalamayid, you're not allowed to do that. So that's why, with the dead person in the chutzah, you're allowed to build his urn, chop the tree and shape it into boards and bang the boards together to make an urn. Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to make the boards. Elam can yeshimai in his urn, only if he has the boards already. If he has the boards and the only thing he has to do is bang the boards together to an urn, that is allowed to do. But to make the boards from the tree, to flatten out the wood and to shape it and sew it, that you can. Because since it's such hard work, anyway, you can just go buy boards. Where do you go in and make it from a tree? So that's why you're not allowed to do that. End of Mishnah Vav. Mishnah Zayin. We learned until now about things you're not allowed to do on Yontif and Chol HaMoed because it is sadness for him. Now there's something else that's very interesting. On Yontif, you're not allowed to, not only aren't you allowed to do something which is going to cause you sadness, you're not even allowed to do something which will cause you a lot of happiness. Because it says, "Mesamachto b'chagecho." You have to be happy in the Yontif. And now if on Yontif you're going to do another thing which will make you happy, you're not being happy because of the Yontif. You're being happy because of a different thing. So that's why we say you're not allowed to get married, let's say, on Yontif. Because that will cause you a lot of happiness. And that's not the kind of, it's not a happiness of Yontif, it's not a simcha of Yontif. Simcha of a different thing. So you want to have a different kind of simcha, have it after Yontif. But on Yontif, you have to have simcha in your Yontif. So that's what we say in Mishnah Zayin. Ein noisim noshim, you're not allowed to marry women, you're not allowed to take wives, v'amoyed and chalamoyed. Loi besuvois. Not a besuva, a girl who was never married before. Well, almanis. Not allowed to marry an almana either. Someone who was married before and her husband lost her husband. Not allowed to marry the almana either. Because you're also happy. Well, like miyabmin, and you're not allowed to be miyabim. If somebody's brother was nifta without leaving any children, right? So the brother married the wife. That's yibam. He takes her for yibama. So you're not allowed to do that either. But neisha simcha yilo. It's a simcha for him. It's a happiness for him. And on yontif, you don't do anything else which will make you happy aside from the yontif happiness. Ava machzer hu gerushasei. He's allowed to take back a wife that he gave a get to. Let's say a person married to a lady and then he gave her a get. And then he changed his mind and said, I want to marry her again. So that is allowed to do chalamayit also. Because he's not that happy. He was once married to her already. It doesn't make him that happy like marrying a new person, a new lady. So that's why he's allowed to do that. He's allowed to take back his gerusha on chalamayit. Vayisa isha pachshiteha. A lady is allowed to make her makeup. She's allowed to put on her makeup, b'mayit, chalamayit. Even though it'll make her happy, but it's not that great, you know, so you're allowed to put on her makeup. Rabbi Yehuda says, loy tosu. She's not allowed to put on lime. What a lady used to do, sometimes they would put on lime onto their bodies so that it would like take off their hair or something like that. It would do different things to make the skin nice. So while they had to leave the lime on for a long time, maybe a couple of days. So while the lime was on, the lady looked very ugly. But they liked it, so they actually put it on, then when they took it off, they looked nicer. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo Yisrael, she's not allowed to put the lime on, because it's nevala, it makes her look ugly. Even though later on she's going to look nice for her, but now it makes her look ugly. So that's why she's not allowed to put on this lime on Chalamay. And the Mishnah Zayin. Mishnah Ches, another thing you're not allowed to do in Chalamay is do work, like professional work. Like, you're allowed to do not professional work, like if I want to do something not professional, just go do something, I can do it. But a professional work, I'm not allowed to do. So now we say, Mishnah Ches, Hahedyot, a regular person, a Hedyot, Toifer, he can sew, he has to sew some clothes. Kedatei, he can sew his regular way, because it's not professional. He can just sew, you know, the way he normally sews. A Hedyot is allowed to sew his regular way. For Uman, but what about an Uman, a professional sewer? A tailor, a guy whose job it is, and he knows how to do it in an expert way, machlis, he has to sew it crooked. Because if he's going to sew it regular straight, and a umar and a tailor can sew it so straight, that's professional work. Now they do that chalamay. So a regular person, a hedyot, he sews anyway crooked, so let him sew like he sews all the time. But a umar and a tailor who sews every single stitch so straight in a straight line, so if he wants to sew a chalamay, machlis, he has to make it crooked. The word machlis comes from the word kelev, the dog. You have to sew like the teeth of a dog. If you ever see the teeth of a dog, you have one long tooth, then you have a small tooth, and it's like crooked up and down. If you ever see the dog's mouth, you'll see. On the side, they have very long teeth, and then in the middle, the shorter one goes crooked up and down. So an Uman, a professional person, machlev, he has to make his stitches crooked like a dog's teeth. Then he can do it. But if you would do it regular straight, then he's doing it like a professional. He's not allowed to do that on Chalamay. On the Sagin of Tamitay, you are not allowed to weave, to lace, the bed. In those days, you know, we take a mattress, and what do we have underneath our mattress? We have like a spring, right, to hold up the mattress. In those days, they didn't have a spring. What they had was like laces. They had things going through up and down. I don't know if you ever saw what a deck chair looks like. You ever saw a deck chair? We have different colors, like green and yellow things, and it goes up and down, you know, in and out. That's how it's made. You weave it, right? You put these different things, and that's how it holds. In those days, that's how they had their beds made. They had these ribbons of these ropes really, that was woven up and down like a deck chair, and on top of that, you put something to sleep on it. So if you have to make that on Chalamay, so we say, Misergin HaSemitis, you are allowed to weave and lace in these ropes for the bed. Rabbi Yossi says, Mamatzkin. You're allowed to tighten them. Not to weave them, because that's already too much work, because like you're making a whole new bed. That's another thing to do. But you are allowed to tighten them. Let's say if they came loose and they were like sagging down to the ground, you're allowed to tighten them. There's a word after, afromaskin, but it's in parentheses. We say, according to most training, we skip that word, it's not supposed to be there. We say, because afromaskin would mean you're also allowed to tighten them. And we don't say also, we say only. With maskin, you're allowed to tighten it because that's not making a new bed. But you're not allowed to make the new bed by weaving it from the beginning. And that's what we say. Rabbi says, Mamatzkin, you are allowed to tighten it so it shouldn't sink down to the floor. But you're not allowed to make the new thing on Chalamay because that's already too hard. End of Mishnah Ches. Mishnah Ches. That's the Mishnah Ma'amidin. You're allowed to build up. You're allowed to make tanur, an oven, v'chiraim, or a stove, v'rechaim, or millstones, l'amay and Chalamay. In those days when we used to want to make an oven or a stove, what did they do? They would make it out of clay. Clay is a kind of earth that's soft, you can shape it, and then later it gets hard. So they would shape an oven or a stove out of clay, and then they would have to leave it out in the sun for a while until it would get very, very hot, it would dry out, and then it would be like an oven or a stove. So you're allowed to build one, set one up, this oven or this stove, or a chaim or millstone. Set up these two heavy stones so that they rub against each other. If you want to grind up the wheat into flour, the grinding machine with two heavy stones, millstones, and these two stones would turn and rub against each other. And then if there would be wheat or something go in the middle, it would grind it up. You're allowed to set those up and build them on Chalamay. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein mechabshin, you're not allowed to make rough. And so you're hiring the millstones, batchila, the first time. Because let's say you have two stones, they're very, very smooth. If they're very smooth, these two stones and a millstone, so when they're turning and turning, you want to put wheat in there, instead of grinding and crushing the wheat into flour, it's like smooth, so it'll just slide out. It won't really grind. So what they used to do was like bang these stones with a hammer to make little lines and scratches on the stones. And then if there were little scratches on the stones, then when the two stones, big stones, rub and turn against each other, if you have wheat come inside, it just rubs so tight, just gets it all ground up. But if they're too smooth, then instead of grinding, it'll just slide right out. So that's why if you just say you're not allowed to make it rough, in mechavshin, you're not allowed to make rough, as you're chayin the millstones, but still the first time. Because once they're new, the first time, then you're not allowed to make it rough because it's very hard. So what happens if it already used to be rough, but then it got smoother because you use it too much? Then you're allowed to do it, because then it's not so hard to make it rough. You just give it a couple of scratches and it'll be lines on it again. But for the first time, when they're very, very new, to get them rough, you're not allowed to do that in the beginning. The end of Mishnah 10. Mishnah Yud. That's the Mishnah, Oisin Makir, you're allowed to build a railing or a fence, the gag for a roof, or a marpeses, or for a balcony. Zin is that when a yid has a house and has a roof on it, he has to build a makir, a fence, or a railing, because somebody might go on top of your roof and fall down, fall off the roof. So you have to build a fence or a railing on top of your roof, by the edge, so people shouldn't be able to fall off. In the same way, a balcony. A balcony is, let's say they used to have, when people would live on the second floor, on the third floor, they didn't have steps inside the house going down from one floor to the other. What they did is, the people who lived downstairs walked right out their door. The people who lived, like, on the second floor, they had a balcony, like, outside they had, like, a door, and they walked outside, like, a balcony, like a fire escape thing. I don't know if you ever saw a fire escape, where you walk out, and you're on a thing right outside your house, like on a kind of floor, and then from there you climb on a ladder to go down to the ground floor. So that also you have to have a makir, a railing or a fence, because it's not going to get fall up there too. So the din of HaChalamayit, if you don't have this thing, this makir, so we say, Oisin makir, you're allowed to build a makir, this fence, legag, for a roof, or a marpeza for a balcony, maisa hedyit, only a maisa hedyit, not professional way, pile up some stones or something, or make it out of branches. I would like my suman, but not in a professional way, where you take bricks and you put them in, that you're not allowed to do a chalamet. Next in, shofin, you're allowed to plaster and sasduk in the cracks. There used to be in the houses, on the ceilings of the houses, the roof of the houses, we learned this in the Mishnah Yisukah, it would be made out of slats, pieces of wood, and then on top of all of that, they would put plaster. And the plaster would get hard, and it would get dry, and that's how they used to close up the roofs of the houses, plaster on top of these woods. What happens if you would have cracks in the plaster? So leaves or rain could fall into your house, and it's not good. It could cause you a lot of damage. So the thing is, shofin, you're allowed to re-plaster as it's looking the cracks in your roof. My agila, my son, you're allowed to smooth them out, my agila, with a roller. Because these sound like a roller, to smooth out the plaster them. But you're the beregan, you can do it with your hand or with your foot. I have a loy b'machatzayim, you're not allowed to do it with a machatzayim. Now, the chatayim in English is a trowel. It's a kind of tool that after you take the plaster and you put it on and you smooth it out with a roller, then to make it extra smooth, like in a really professional way, you take this machatayim and you rub it until it gets really, really smooth. So that you're not allowed to do on chalamayit. You're allowed to put on the plaster because or else it'll rain in, and you're allowed to roll it in to make it smooth. But to make it so smooth using machatayim, that you're not allowed to do. Next in, hatsir, a hinge. A hinge is like, let's say when they used to have a door, put on a door, so they used to have a thing sticking out from the bottom of the door, like a piece of wood, and it would be attached to a hole in the ground. So a piece of wood sticking out of the door, the bottom of the door is called a hinge, and the hole in the ground is called a socket. And the hinge, the piece of the door, would go into the hole in the ground, the socket. So hatsir, let's say this hinge or the door, the bottom piece of the door. Hatsir or the socket, the hole in the ground where the door gets attached to it. Hatsir or a beam, something that's holding up your house. Hamanel or a lock. Or a key. All of these things, shenishbaru, they broke. So you have a problem there. Because it's very dangerous to leave these things broken. If you have your door hinge broken, any robber can just go pick up the door and walk into the house and steal anything. Or if your lock is broken or key or anything. So the din is mesachron b'moyed, you're allowed to fix them during chalamayit. All that, but, shloyechavim melachtoy b'moyed. He should not plan his work that he should be able to do at chalamayit. He shouldn't say, well, my lock is about to break, well, chalamayit, I'm going to have a lot of time, I'm allowed to do it then anyway, I'll do it then. You're allowed to do work in chalamayit if you can't help it. But if you could help it, and if you plan from before Yontif that you're going to do this halamayit, then you're not allowed to do it. Leave it undone. Next, mechol kavoshin, all pickled food. You can take food and soak it and like spice it to make it pickled. Mechol kavoshin, all pickled food. Shiyochal le'echol mehen b'mayit, that he can eat with them, he can eat during the Yontif. Kavshan, you're allowed to pickle them on halamayit, because it's considered doing that melacha for Yontif. End of Perek Aleph. Perek Bey. We just learned before that if you're going to have a dover or oven, you can lose a lot of money. Like if somebody will come and rob your house, or if you'll have somebody that will lose you a lot of money, then you're allowed to do malocha and chalamoy. We learned that in Perek Aleph. But we also learned that if you planned for it, especially planned that you should do your work on chalamoy, then you're not allowed to do it. Let's say I start a big job a week before chalamoy, and I know it'll take 2 weeks. So then am I allowed to get up on chalamoy morning and say, wait a second, I'm in the middle of the job, and if I don't finish it, I can lose a lot of money, I got to do it? We say, too bad, because you plan you're going to work in Chalamayit, you're not allowed to do that, right? But what happens if a person had a job, like pressing olives, and it takes 2 weeks to press out the olives, to get this oil out of the olives? And let's say he started 2 weeks before, but then he got cheated. The workers said they're going to come, and they didn't come. And now it's Chalamayit, and he's stuck. What do you do? Is he allowed to press it or not? So you might say, well, no, you're not. You're not allowed to press olives Chalamayit, it's a melacha. But on the other hand, you might say, but wait a minute, he started in time, that he should really have been finished before he got this. It's not his fault now that he can't, that he didn't do it. So what did he do? So this Mishnah will start off about that. As the Mishnah, Misha Hafak is based off, somebody turned over his olives to get them soft. When they used to want to get the oil out of the olives, they used to go like this. Take all the olives, pile them into like a big, big pot, and wait till they got a little soft. They would be squashed together until they got a little soft. Then you turn them over until they get another more soft on the other side. Now, after it's soft, you have to press them. Press the oil out. If you don't press them, they'll get rotten. So how do you press them? You would pour them into like a flat thing, and you would take a very heavy piece of board, and you would stick it on top and lay it down flat, and it would squash out all the juice. Then you would pick it up again, and you would put it down the board again, and it would squash out all the rest of the juice. But what happens if it got soft already, and he's not going to squash out the oil, so he's just going to get rotten, right? So what happened? Mishnah Hapach has based off somebody turned over his olives and he got them soft. That was before Yontif. The Eiroi Eva. And then Avelus happened to him. He had to sit shiva or something. And he's not allowed to do malocha then. So some accident happened. Oisha hit Uhu Pailin. Well, his workers tricked him. They said they'll come before Yontif and they didn't. And now what's he going to do? He stuck Chalamoy. The other olives are soft already. If he leaves until after Yontif, they'll get rotten. But he's not allowed to do malocha on Chalamoy. What do you do? So he did it. He's allowed to put the first board on top of it, the first beam, the first heavy thing to stretch it out, he's allowed to put on. And leave it there till after Yontif. So that's not considered so much melacha. You just take the first heavy board and you stick it on top. So it'll stretch out some of the juice, just enough that the olives won't get spoiled, they won't get rotten. And the rest of the stuff you do after Yontif. Different Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda says. That all you're allowed to do is the smallest amount of work possible that it shouldn't get rotten. You put on one heavy thing, finished. Rabbi Yosef, any erase, said, no, you can do already the whole thing. Zaylef, you can pour the olives into the press, but Goyimer can finish the whole thing and squeezing out all the oil. Not only that, but guff. He's even allowed to seal up the barrels, close up the barrels, the oil runs into barrels, he's even allowed to close up those barrels to dark oil just in the regular way. Because once he's ready, allowed to do the melacha, on Chalamoy, he can finish and do the whole thing. And the Mishnah Aleph. Mission base. V'chein, and the same thing, Mishah Yayinoi, Pesecha Boer. What if his wine was in the boer? His wine was in the boer, and the boer is like the vat. What they used to do, they would fetch out the grapes, and the wine would fall underneath into a boer. And you can't leave it there straight, because also it can get spoiled. What if his wine was already in the boer before Yontif? And now he wanted to put it into the barrels and get it stored away. It shouldn't get spoiled. Be'er Eivel, and then he had to sit Shuvi at Avelis, or Oynis, or an accident, Oishe at Uhu Payalim, or his work is tricked him. So then also, Zaylev, he's allowed to pour it into the barrels, but Garmer can finish the whole thing, but Goff, and he can seal the barrels, Kedarka, like he regularly would do. Zivir Rebbe Yosi, that's what Rebbe Yosi says. The same thing in the late mission with the olives. But Yehuda Ayin, Rebbe Yehuda says, no, Oishe Loili Mudim. He's allowed to cover it with boards. Shvil Shalai Yachmet. So that the wine doesn't get sour, doesn't get spoiled. He can just take the barrels and cover it with a board or something, and that's it. He again has to do the simplest kind of job that he should do to prevent the wine from getting spoiled, and the rest of it we can finish after Yontif.
So the same achlekes, Rabbi Yosi and Yehuda had about the olive, you have now about the grapes. What are you allowed to do now in Chalam Moed? So Rabbi Yehuda says, only do the smallest amount of possible work to prevent it from getting rotten. And Rabbi Yosi says, once you're allowed to do the work, do the whole thing, you're allowed to finish whatever you want to do. End of Mishnah Beis. Mishnah Gimel. That's the Mishnah, Machnis Odom Pegoisov. A person may bring his pears into the house from outside. If they have ganovim, because they've ganovim, robbers. If he's worried that robbers are going to steal the pears if they're left outside, he may bring them in the house. Even though it's hard work, imagine you have 10 apple trees of apples, and you have to go schlep them all into the house or into the storage house. It's a lot of work. But if you're worried about ganovim, so that's something dovan or ovid, something that will go lost that you lose money from. If you're going to lose out on it, then you're allowed to do it on Chalom Moed, even if it's hard work. The machnis odom peyoysov, man may bring in his pears, his fruit, into the house, into the storage house, and it's neha ganovim, because he's worried about ganovim. The shoyle pishtonoi, he may take out the flax, min hamishra, from the water that it's soaking in. Flax is a kind of plant that when it grows, it's very hard. And you soak it in water and a certain kind of liquid, and after you soak it for a while, it gets soft, and then you're able to make clothes out of it. It becomes like a cloth. The only thing is, this flax that soaks in the water, if it soaks too little, small amount of time, let's say only a few hours, it'll still be hard. You can't use it. But if it soaks too long, then it gets rotten and spoiled. You can't use it either. You have to soak it just the right amount of time. I don't know how many days you have to soak it. Just the right amount of time you have to soak it, then it's good. And if you soak it too long, it gets spoiled. So what happens now if your flax is in the water, soaking, and then you notice that it's going to get rotten, if you leave it in there longer. So you're allowed to take it out of that water, mishra, the soaking water, and bring it out. So we say, v'shayla pishtonoi, you may take out your flax, and our mishra, from the water that it's soaking in, mishra shalai taibai, so it shouldn't go lost, it shouldn't go to waste. Because if it gets rotten, then it's going to be a dover oven. It's going to be lost to you. Well, bad, but only, shalai achavin if melachtoi, he may not have kavana that he wants his work to get done, b'amayin chalamayin. What if a person will say, well, I don't have time to take my food into the house now, I have to work, the chalamayin, I'm going to be off my work, then I'll do it. If you have kavana to do your work in chalamayin, that you're not allowed to do. Now what happens if a guy knows that the flax has to soak in the water for a week? So a week before chalamayin, he puts the flax into the water, and he thinks, well, chalamayin, I'll take it out. Anyway, I'm allowed to take out the flax from the water, chalamayin, right? So I'll put it in a week before Chalamayit, so Chalamayit should take it out. That you are not allowed to do. You're allowed to do work in Chalamayit if you'll have something go lost, if you'll have a loss of money or something. But you're not allowed to have kavanah that you'll do that work in Chalamayit. So avad, but only, shalo yechavin es malachti, you're not allowed to have kavanah that you should do your work by Mayit and Chalamayit. Mechul on all these things, in kibnu malachti mamayit, if they had kavanah that had in mind that they want their work to get done in Chalamayit, yoyveji, they should go lost. The Bezin says that all that stuff is hefka, and whoever wants it could take it. Because if you had in mind that you doctor wanted to do that work, Chalamayit, the Bezin will say, it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to whoever takes it first. So it'll go lost to you. End of Mishnah Gimel. Mishnah Dalet. Ein loikin batim, you may not buy houses, avodim, or tef, or behemo, or animals, elo l'tzerich hamayit, only if it's needed for mayit, for yantid. Let's say you need a house to live in Yontif. Your house burned down, you have to have a house. Or you need to have avodim knef, so you have to have behemoth in order to check for Yontif. Then you're allowed to buy it. So the only time you're allowed to buy houses, or knef, or animals, is only if you need it for chalamayit. Either terech ha-meicher, or, for another reason, if the meicher, the one who sells it, must sell it. She'ein lai ma'yachal, has nothing to eat. Let's say I own a house, and I own an animal or a knef. And I don't have any food in the house, I have no money. So I have to sell a house or my animal or my slave or else I'm not going to have money. Then I'm allowed to do a chalamayit also. Next then, ein mefanin, you may not move kelim or tvua or whatever. I'm not allowed to take out stuff. He buys the bias from one house to another. I can't move my furniture, let's say, from my house in Edwin Lane. Let's say I'm moving to another house on the other end of Muncie. I'm not allowed to move my stuff. It's hard work. Ain't no finding me buying somebody that cannot move things from a house to another house. I will mafana who, but he is allowed to move, you are allowed to move, in your chutzah. Let's say in your chutzah, you have a few houses in the chutzah. from one house in the chutzah to another house in the chutzah, that I may do. Because there, it's not in public, not everybody can see. It's like a private thing. So there, people don't see me working so hard, it's okay. But if I'm going to go and schlep my dining room table, and I'm going to schlep it all the way on my back from Edmund Lane all the way to where Beis Mikra is, people are going to look, they're going to say, hey, he's doing work on Chalamay. That's you're not allowed to do. Next din, Emilim Kalim, Beis Uman, you're not allowed to take your Kalim from the house of the Umar, the professional repairman. I have a Kali, a watch, and it's in the watchmaker's house, in his store. I'm not allowed to pick it up Chalamay. I can pick it up after Yom Tov. I don't want to pick it up a Chalamayit. What if I'm worried about it? Let's say I'm worried that the watchmaker is going to have robberies or something and maybe they're going to steal my watch away. Or maybe another reason I'm worried, that let's say the watchmaker said I have to pay him now. And I'm worried that if I pay him and I don't pick up my watch, so then he's going to want to keep my watch. Next time he's not going to give it to me back. So if I suspect, I'm worried that maybe I'll end up losing my keli if I don't pick it up now, Chalamayit. So I'm finally l'chotel acheres. Then I'm allowed to take it even to another chutzah. And we're not talking about here only a watch, we're talking about a big thing also, a saxophone that you have by the music store to be fixed, let's say. So there also I'm not allowed to pick it up Chalamayit, but only if I'm worried about it, I'm scared it might be stolen or something, then I'm allowed to pick it up on Chalamayit. And the Mishnah Dalet. Mishnah Hey. That the Mishnah Machapin, you're allowed to cover up as a ketioid, the cut figs by cash with straw. When figs grow on the tree, they get very, very juicy. And it's like a little gooey, because the juice can even drip out, can run out. And after they would cut them off the tree, they would leave them on the ground in the field, and the sun would bake them and dry them out a little bit. And after they would be dried, they would take them into the storage house for eating or for selling or whatever. So what happens if it would rain? They'd have to take them into the house, or they'd have to cover them up to protect them. Because the rain falls on them, they're not going to get dry. They get even wetter, they can get rotten. So now the dinner on Chalamayit, the Mechapenes and Ketiyos, you are allowed to cover up the cut up things like hash with straw. Even though it's not such easy work, but you're allowed to do it because it's a dover oven. You might get it ruined, you might get it spoiled. But Yehuda says, not only are you allowed to cover it with straw, Achma Abin, you're even allowed to pile them up. Even allowed to pile up other figs on top of them and pile straw on top of that, and even though it's harder work, but still, if you can just cover with straw, maybe some rainwater will get in through the straw, and then you'll really end up losing money. So if you just said, not only are you allowed to cover it with straw, you're even allowed to be ma'aba. You're even allowed to cover it up thickly and build it like a tower. Next in, Mechre Peris, those who sell Peris, for Kalim or clothes for Kalim, Mercha Mitzina, they're allowed to sell it quietly, secretly, in a hidden way, the Terech HaMayid, for what's needed for Yantif. Even though you're not really allowed to do selling on Chalamayid, but if it's needed for Yantif, you're allowed to do it, Mitzina, in a quiet, secret way. Hatayodin, the trappers, those who trap fish or animals or birds, and they use it for meat, to sell meat or fish. By the shoyshoys and those who grind up wheat to make cereal out of them. By goroysoys are those who make another kind of food out of beans. They grind beans or whatever, they make some kind of bean cereal out of it. Oys and mitzinah, they're allowed to do their things also quietly and secretly with Terech HaMayit for what's needed for Yantiv. So again, even though it's working, they're really not allowed to do it, but for Yantiv they're allowed to do it, but they got to do it quietly. They don't want to make a big advertisement, come, a special Chalamayit sale. That not. But quietly, whatever fiyantiv you have, you just open up quietly, and whoever needs fiyantiv will come and buy. Rabbi Yosi says, Heim hechmiru alatman. These people, these professional workers who make the cereal, those trap the thing, they were machmer, they were stricter on themselves. And even though they really allowed to sell these things or make these things quietly for yantiv, they were stricter on themselves and they said, we're not going to do it even quietly, even hiddenly. And so they decided that they're not going to even open up their stores, even for Terech HaMayit, they're not going to do it. So they basically said, now that they were stricter on themselves, so now these people, the trappers and the people who make the cereals and the people who sell the pears and the clothes and the kalim, they're not allowed to do it in a Chalamayit, even a Terech HaMayit, even secretly. But Meloch is not like Yibayisi, and we say that you are allowed to do it quietly and secretly, you are allowed to do these things if it's a Terech HaMayit. end of Perek Beis. Perek Gimel. In the first two program of Ma'ariv Kotel, we learn about different melachos that you're allowed to do on Chol Hamoed. And we learn of two reasons why you would be allowed to do melacha on Chol Hamoed. One is Dabar HaOvad, something which will cause you loss. You'll end up losing things. Like, let's say if you're not going to go to work, you lose your whole job. Dabar HaOvad, you're allowed to work there on Chol Hamoed. Or let's say if you're not going to water your field, you lose your whole field, it'll all get spoiled, or most of the stuff won't grow. That's Dabar HaOvad, you're allowed to do the melacha on Chol Hamoed. So one reason you'd be allowed to work Chol Hamoed is because Dabar HaOvad. You'll end up losing. Another reason you could work Chol Hamoed is because Tzeir HaChamayim. You need a fiyantiv. A guy doesn't have a house now. He has to have a house to live in a yantiv, right? A guy doesn't have food. He's allowed to go buy food for yantiv. So that's why Tzeir HaChamayim, you're allowed to do work also if you need a fiyantiv. So we have two reasons you're allowed to do Malacha and Chol Hamoed. One is Dabar HaOvad. You can end up with a loss. The other is Tzeir HaChamayim. You need it for yantiv. Now,